black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sir? See ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. Going to be speaking to Erin, who had an encounter here in Washington State. In fact, the area where she had the encounter, I know I've passed it back when I used to hunt several times. And so I'm going to try and dig up the exact location. But it's a fascinating account. I'll let her tell the story. But she got a really, really good look at one of these things in broad daylight. And wait till you hear how she actually had her encounter and what she did during her encounter. Then I'll also be speaking to Derek, who had an encounter when he was a child, back when he was with the Boy Scouts. Fascinating, fascinating stuff tonight. I'll be back on Sunday for the members. I had to move around a guest, and so I'm posting Sunday's show normally a little bit early, and I'll be back with the members on Sunday. If you get a chance, check out SasquatchChronicles.com. There's a shop at the top. You can buy merchandise and become a member. Help support the show. But either way, I appreciate you guys being here tonight and listening to the show. Let's jump into it. Erin, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I know your encounter took place here in Washington State, and I know the area really well. But if you would, for the audience, maybe could you start from the beginning and tell us what you're out doing and kind of just walk us into what happened?
Sure, I would absolutely love to do that. I'm from Alaska originally, and so I've been around bears and moose and wild animals all of my young life. And we moved to a little town called Longview, Washington, and I was the new kid at school. It was the end of the school year, and sometime in May, I would guess. And I didn't have to go to camp because I was brand new and I didn't know anybody, but I was really excited. They were going to take us up into the mountains. So we were scheduled to go from Monday through Friday. And we went up on Monday and arrived at camp. It was maybe 3 to 4 cabins on each side of a main lodge situated off of a dirt road. One end of the lodge had a large vacant field or vacant grassy area that was big enough for us to play softball in. And then the woods after that with a small stream, maybe 10 to 15 feet inside the woods. So we arrived at camp. There was 6 to 8 of us in the cabins. The girls were on one side, the boys on the other. The first morning that we woke up, I slept like a log. I didn't hear anything, but during breakfast, some of the girls in the next cabin told us that they had seen someone peek in the window, and they heard scratching, and we just assumed it was the boys because we expected the boys to come over to our side of the camp and try to scare us. We were all fifth and sixth graders at the time, so that would have been perfect. But the problem with the peek in the window is the windows were real high in the cabins as well as the lodge, and you couldn't just walk up and look in them unless you were really tall. So the next night, actually that night, we were having dinner. It had just gotten dark. We were sitting in the lodge, and we were sitting at like picnic tables with bench seating, and I was sitting against the wall under the window, and my new friend was sitting across from me. I remember her name is Jackie, curly red hair and an infectious smile, and we were just giggling and talking with our dinner. And suddenly she looked up at the window and her face just went into terror mode, and she flipped herself backwards off of this bench seat that she was on, screaming bloody murder and freaking out that there's a monster looking at her in the window. And the adults in the room grabbed her and shook her, and they slapped her face and told her that she was hysterical and that she didn't see anything. She was just trying to scare people. And they took her out and they put her out in the dark at the end of the lodge. There was these two big like barn doors that opened, and they sat her in a chair out there facing the woods in the darkness. And she just sat there sobbing with her face in her hands. I stood as nearby as they would let me and let her know I wouldn't take my eyes off of her, that, you know, that nothing was going to get her. So nothing more happened that evening. We all went to bed.
It's terrible, isn't it, to do that to a kid?
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was shocked that they treated her that way. And this was, you know, I didn't know her well, but this certainly didn't seem like a normal thing to do. I saw her face. I saw her reaction to something. I didn't necessarily want to be out there in the dark either, but I didn't want her sitting there alone. And I just wanted her to know that I was watching her and nothing was going to get her. This affected her so bad that she was sick all the next day. So she wasn't there. Now, this is now Wednesday, and she's in bed sick all day. We had done some activities during the morning, gone for a hike, and then come back, had lunch. And it was, I would guess about 1 o'clock, we went out to play a game of softball. And this was boys, girls, teachers, parents, everybody that was out there. We had a rousing game of softball. It was a beautiful, warm afternoon. The sun was out. And I'm thinking we probably played softball for maybe an hour and a half-ish. And then the game started to break up. There was three of us girls that were playing outfield where the ball never goes because we weren't very good at it. The three of us grouped together out there by the forest, the line of the forest, where everyone else headed back towards the cabins and the lodge. And we were just chatting. I had my back to the forest, and two girls I was talking to were looking towards me and into the forest. And we were just standing there chatting, and everybody was just sort of milling about on the other side of the field. And all of a sudden, these two girls got the same look that Jackie had gotten the night before, this look of horror and terror, and they turned and bolted towards the cabins. They were gone. And I should have just started running straight, but I had to see what I was running from, and I turned and looked over my left shoulder. And that's the only reason that I can figure out that this happened. I started running in a circle instead of running straight. I ended up running at least three times around this creature that was standing there with this look of amazement on his face and surprise. And he was turning at the waist, and we had eyes, our eyes were just locked on this deadlock on our eyes. And every time he would turn to catch my gaze again, and it just had me locked into this run in a circle around him until finally these voices started breaking through. I heard my name, Aaron, run this way, run this way. And the people were shouting it. And finally, I was able to break away and start running in the direction of all of the people. So there had to be, I mean, I was a kid, it was a lot of people. My guess is 40 to 50 people standing there on the other side of that field that saw this happen. Within 2 hours, the call went out that there was a bear in camp. This was not a bear. This absolutely was not a bear. I'll finish what happened that day, and then I'll come back and describe his face in detail.
Sure.
Within 2 hours, they had the school buses there to load us out 2 days early because of the bear in camp. They loaded us onto the buses, and as we were sitting there waiting to leave, I saw these trucks with hunters arrive. And I don't know, 4 or 5 hunters got out with their rifles and headed back to where we had been standing. Hopefully, you know, he had a couple hours advance notice to get out of the area. But they hauled us home. Our parents had to pick us up, and the parents were told that there was a bear in camp. And as much as I told them this was not a bear, it had a cinnamon color coat, a reddish brown color. It had not a lot of hair on its face, just like a beard without a mustache, or maybe a teenage boy that's trying to grow that beard and it's just coming in sparse, and very sparse, little bit of mustache, just a little bit of hair up in those areas. And he had human eyes. They were very human. Their color was a amber brown, and strikingly big eyes. And I can't help but describe it as a kindness coming through. His eyes looked kind. He had a human type nose with nostrils facing down, not at all like an ape or anything like that. And thinner lips, a large mouth. Of course, his features were large. His face was huge. I would guess his height at between 6.5 feet and 7 feet tall, because as I was running around, I'm looking up the whole time. I have no description of hands or feet or anything like that, because we were locked. Our eyes were locked. So more in my peripheral, I'm at his waist as far as my eyesight goes. I'm running around at his waist. So I would guess him to be 6'5" to 7' tall. And I even thought at the time he was young. I just got that feeling. His hair was shiny looking around his head and clean. Maybe it's because of all the rain there, I don't know, but I did not notice any odor. But once I got home and told my brothers what I had seen, this hooked them on Bigfoot for the rest of their lives. About a week later, my older brother came to me with a picture in the magazine of a Bigfoot and asked me if this is what I saw. And because I had never heard anything about a Bigfoot, I didn't know what to call it other than a monster. And yes, that was what I saw. But it was not aggressive to me in any way. It had this look of surprise on its face. I was terrorized. I was so scared. But it didn't try to hurt me in any way.
It's fascinating. I love the fact that you ran, as you and I talked the other night, I love the fact that you ran around this thing. Because I think you threw it off. And I could see a little kid doing that, you know, someone who's 11, 12 years old. I could see them not really knowing what to do in that situation and running around in circles around the thing. And I love the fact that he probably was sitting there thinking, what in the world are you doing? You know, obviously you weren't a threat. You know, you were, and don't take it the wrong way, but a female and a child. Mm-hmm. And so obviously you're not a threat to this thing. And, you know, you probably threw it off. You know, everyone else took off running, but you ended up running, you know, and I could just see the creature kind of bending at the waist, looking you in the eye as you go around it, then kind of turning back around the other way and looking you back. And that's one of the things with Sasquatch, Aaron, the look of surprise. There's not a lot of animals on the planet where you can look at it and go, wow, yeah, he was really surprised. Not in the way that we would look at like a Sasquatch and go, wow, that's a very human looking, like just in shock and awe. Was there anything else you remember about the creature? Were you able to see, and forgive the question, but were you able to see any like genitals? Were you able to, I know you keep saying he, did you think it was a male? What was your impression on what, you know, why did you feel that way?
I've always thought that it was a male. I did not see genitals. I didn't see anything below the waist. But I did, although our eyes were locked, and that's what I was staring at as I would come around. And I did notice that it would turn its whole upper body to catch my sight again as I came around it. I did note that I noticed some people say they had a coned head. This one did not have a coned head. It had a rounded head and not a lot of neck there, but there was still some. Okay, so it wasn't a head sitting right on the shoulders. But the shoulders were very bulky, and I did not see any breasts. So because I could see the chest in my peripheral. It was covered with hair except for its face, and it did not have a big brow line that a lot of people talk about, but it had a look of a tall person. Maybe a tall brow line would be the best expression, and very large eyes, and the color of them was really striking. But other than that, thin lips, not a lot of hair on the face. The color of the skin was more of a buckskin. So sort of tanned, I guess, but not leathery, and it had a young look to it. It didn't have any wrinkles. It had smooth skin with sparse hair up to the cheekbones, very sparse enough to where, you know, the only heaviness of the hair on its face was down from around the chin line and underneath the chin. And then that, under the chin, that hair just grew longer with the rest of the hair on the body.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate your answer. You know, what I found a lot with encounters, Aaron, is you'll find a lot of people will say, they'll focus in on one thing. And I've said this on past shows. They will either like the shoulders, or they will focus in and tell you about all day long about the shoulders. They can tell you other details too, or I've had situations where people will come on and they can tell you everything about the nostrils or everything about the eyes. And so I can kind of understand why you're not doing a full examination as you're running, you know, you're freaking out and you're locked in eye contact with this thing as you're running around. Yeah. Did it ever show its teeth or did it ever vocalize or anything like that?
Nope. Didn't show its teeth. Its mouth was closed the whole time and it didn't say anything. I couldn't hear it breathing. It didn't have an odor, but, also we weren't hearing anything at night. I mean, granted, we only got to spend two nights there, but, the other cabin was hearing some scratching and movement around the cabin. But we didn't hear any type of vocalizations that we noticed. Of course, there was a lot of people at this camp. You know, there was a lot of activity and a lot of noise most of the time. And I slept really well in that fresh air. I didn't wake up during the night, either night, not even once. So yeah, I would have loved to hear it make a noise, but nope.
Yeah, and you know, you hear encounters like this all the time where, like, vacation cabins where no one's in it for a couple months and then someone goes and rents it out and they have activity like this. And with the kids saying a couple nights prior that something was looking in the window and then your friend had seen the face looking at her through the window, It's probably all the same creature. He probably came in and was just checking you guys out, trying to figure out what's going on now. All these cabins now are full. There's kids running around, and curiosity gets to these things. I think if you get the right creature, I think the best way to, you know, if you want to get a picture or you kind of have to strike their curiosity. And they seem to be very interested in kids. Sometimes not always a good reason, but I think.
A lot
of situations, I think it's just curiosity, and it's a non-threat, you know. It's kind of like when people see a bear cub, they're, oh, it's so cute, you know, you want to, it catches your attention, but, you know.
Sure. Yeah, why it would walk right up behind me, I don't know. We were giggling and talking. We were, you know, just three girls giggling, you know, which may have brought it in a little closer, but I've always been a bit taken aback that it would stand directly behind me like that.
Yeah, I really think in this situation, I really think it was curiosity, because three girls giggling, you know, if you're a predator and let's say an apex predator like a Sasquatch, that's easy pickings right there. And if it wanted you, I think it would have probably taken you. I think it was just more or less curiosity, especially with the way it reacted when you're running around in circles. It still makes me smile when I hear that, because I always make different comments like bring the fight to the Sasquatch. Or you hear different guys where they will go after, they will actually, instead of turning and running, they will go towards. And I think when you do that, it throws these creatures off. They're not used to that. They're used to people like your friends running off. And you just kind of ran around in circles. I don't think it knew what to do with you.
And exactly. And I didn't, you know, the only way I can explain that is when I looked over my left shoulder and locked eyes with it, I had already started running. And that's what started me in that circle around it. And just that hypnotic eye lock, I think I was just in shock, literally in shock. And you can do weird things then. The other two girls I was standing there with had the wherewithal to run. And maybe I would have too if I had been facing the same direction that they were. And had it not be behind me, I don't think I ever would have run in a circle around it had I not had to look over my shoulder. And it's like, I reckon it like driving a car, looking over your shoulder to see if anything's coming and running off the road. You know, because sometimes as you turn your head, your body turns the wrong way. It doesn't stay straight forward. So that's the only thing is being a kid and being in such shock. I mean, had it been a bear, like the adults were trying to tell us, you know, it would have swiped at me with all those circles I was making around it. Plus there was just no way it was a bear that they were calling it a bear. They called all of our parents, to pick us up at school, of course. And while we were traveling back to town on the bus, and, my mother told me that they had told her there was a bear in camp, and they didn't tell her what happened to me. They just said there was a bear in camp. For safety's sake, they were taking us out early. But I remember, even though as terrorizing as it was, I didn't want to go home. I wanted to stay two more days. It was terrorizing, but it was exciting as well.
Did you ever tell your mom? Did you say, hey, Mom, that was no bear?
Oh, my mother to this day apologizes to me for not believing me. My brothers were just, you know, it set them off on a lifelong love of an interest of Bigfoot. But my mother wanted to believe the adults. So she didn't believe me until I got older. And I told her, you know, that was not a bear. And she started apologizing to me for not believing me and brushing it off. My brothers, of course, my younger brother, would curl up beside me every night for years and want me to recite my encounter with him. It was a regular bedtime story for him. And my older brother, always looking for tracks and sign, and it started a big love of Bigfoot for them. But my older brother is the one that gave me the name when he showed me that picture and told me what it was.
Yeah, and I think it's important to mention, too, you know, you're talking 1968, maybe almost 1969, yes, somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah.
And, you know, exactly. No one was really saying Bigfoot at that time. No one was really. So I guess I can kind of understand the adults. You know, what else would it be? I guess just a weird looking bear.
Yeah.
But did you ever go back to any of those adults, you know, as you guys came back, or even talk to your friend about either telling the adults, hey, that was no bear, mm-hmm, or talking to your friend had seen the face and saying, hey, I was up close with that thing. I know exactly what you saw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I did. I did with my friends, of course, that it saw it. You know, it was a hot topic of conversation with us for a little while, but then we went back to being kids and just moved on. But I'm sure they remembered it like I did. Unfortunately, my family moved around a lot. So by the next year, I was up in the Seattle area. And a year after that, I was out in Renton and Kent. We'd moved around a lot. My father had died about 2 years before this sighting. And my mother moved us around a lot. So I did not get back to that area. I was scheduled to go. I should be there right now in Gifford Pinchot with my brother, who lives in the Olympic Peninsula now. We were going to meet there at a cabin, trying to get to the area and hoping to relive some of my experience that I had as a kid. It's been a trip I've wanted to make my entire adult life. So, you know, now we're getting to that point where my husband's retiring next month, and I'm a realtor, so my time is flexible, and we're going to make it back up. It sounds like May might be a good time, and that's when I was there before. So we're going to go camp out or find a cabin. I'd love to be in the same area, see if I can't have another encounter. It would just make my day.
Yeah,
but I haven't.
Be careful,
I haven't
though.
Made it there yet.
Yeah, be careful, though. Not every encounter is what you experienced. You know, sometimes there is aggression, and sometimes people do get hurt.
Yeah.
Not all of them are like what you experienced. But one thing I wanted to ask you, Aaron, and as far as what do you think that these things are? I mean, you got a really good look, probably better than
really good look.
Most people.
Yeah.
And if let's say the term Bigfoot, Sasquatch doesn't exist, and you were to describe to someone what you saw, what would you say?
I would have to say a hybrid man-animal, a caveman covered with hair. As a kid, I called it a monster, but it had a human face. So I would have to liken the face to maybe a caveman, you know, at the time, or Neanderthal type face with a bit more hair. I know my cousin asked me recently if it could have been a man. And I said, absolutely not. It could not have been a man. It was too animalistic in that sense, but yet had those human eyes and that human face, I would have to call it a cross between a man and an animal somehow.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You say a lot of people say that. A lot of people say that. In fact, I think nowadays that's probably how I would describe it, you know, for, you know, as a generic term, that's basically what I would say is it's, you know, somewhere in between. But they do have very animalistic-like behaviors a lot of times. And the bodies do look very, I know they stand up like we do, and they have two legs and two arms, and but they, you know, it does look very animalistic. But you hear a lot of people say that about the face. The face, the eyes were very human-like. And a lot of times when I'll ask people, when you say human-like, what do you mean? And they'll say, and you may disagree with this, but some people will say, you know, it was thinking. I could tell it wasn't just a dead eye stare. This thing was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you say human eyes, is that kind of what you mean, or do you have a different definition?
Well, I would say yes, that it had a look of surprise in its eyes. And to me, its eyes, I always describe them as looking kind. Its eyes didn't look scary. they were very human. They had a pupil. They had his eyes were amber brown with white showing. They were just like human eyes, only bigger to fit the big face. But I would say absolutely there was thinking behind those eyes. It did not strike me as being a total animal, just a wild animal. It had intelligence, if you would ask me. I don't know how smart it was to be seen by all those people. But it was definitely curious, curious enough to walk up to three little girls.
Yeah, and I think, like I said before, I think curiosity gets the best of these things sometimes, especially when it comes to little kids. Or that intention always makes me worry a little bit because, you know, in the animal kingdom, young ones are easy to take, or you're old and you're sick are easy to take. And so a lot of times, I think with Sasquatch, what I find interesting is, and I don't think your situation was like that. I don't think he had any interest in taking you or harming you, because it would have if that's what the intent was. It could have snagged you and took off running, and no one out there would have caught up with this thing. But what's, you know, the thing with Sasquatch I find so fascinating is you'll find a lot of encounters just like yours, where it's just curiosity. It's just kind of like I've had so many, especially when they come up with kids, or there's kids playing, or they seem to come up to kids' windows. And, you know, it makes you wonder why. Is it just curiosity, or is there something else going on there?
Yeah, makes you wonder.
Yeah. You know, if a grizzly bear was interested in you and your 11-year-old girl, it's interested in you for one reason, and that's to eat you. But with Sasquatch, their behaviors are all over the board. They really are. They're all over the board.
Personalities. Just like people are like, you know, like our animals. Our animals all have different personalities. Why shouldn't they?
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the other thing, too, is I've noticed when people describe the face as being very human-like, there's different descriptions. Sometimes people will say, well, it looked very chimpanzee-like in the face, except for the nose. Everyone always says the nose looks human, or you'll get different descriptions. But the ones that appear to be more human, generally speaking, are less aggressive. They're more just curious, want to come in and see what you're doing, and then they'll kind of leave, or they'll scratch on or they'll tap on the windows, but they're really not. And that's a very broad term is what I'm saying. A lot of times with the human-looking face, they seem to be less aggressive. I guess that's my opinion.
Oh, but, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I got lucky enough to get one of those to run around.
Yeah, you know.
It could have been ugly if it was an aggressive one.
Yeah. No, and it's something that sticks with you, doesn't it? It never really, whole life, it kind of stays with you, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 59 years old now, and I don't think that there's been a week in my life that I haven't walked through that experience and wondered where the other people were that saw this, or wondering what they thought. Are they thinking about it, too, all these years later? I think seeing something like that, you can't forget it. I mean, I guess you could block it out because it was terrifying. But for the most part, I feel privileged to have had that experience, especially as I've been looking into it lately, and I haven't told anybody but my family all these years. And I decided to open up a bit to see if maybe there was somebody else out there that was there that day that also has just never forgot about it and is always thinking about it. And, you know, might hear this and come out and say, yes, I was there. I saw that. Or I'm Lisa. I'm one of the girls that you were talking to at the edge of the woods. I remember it clearly, and here's what I remember. I'd really, really like to get my story out there to see if any of them are listening, and not to back me up or verify it or anything. I know what I saw. My memory is very clear on it. I have no doubt in my mind what it was, but I would just like to get other people's impressions of that day. How many times did I run around that creature? I know at least three times, but maybe it was 10 times. I don't know, but maybe somebody that saw it happen could tell me, I was in some sort of terror or shock at the time, but I'd like to hear someone else's perspective on it.
Yeah, and hopefully someone listening to it will contact me, and, you know, I put you guys in contact. But whatever became of your friend, the one that they put out on the chair out in the dark,
Jackie,
whatever became of her, I know you were only in school for about a year before you moved, but did you ever talk to her? I mean, did you guys ever compare notes?
Well, we did after the fact. She didn't like to talk about it much. The other two girls that saw it would talk more openly about it. Jackie's experience being shut out there outside terrorized her, traumatized her. The fact that nobody believed her as far as the adults traumatized her. We kept in touch probably for 2 years afterwards. And then, you know, we both got busy with our junior high school lives and my family moved us around. I went to a different school every year. So, you know, my friends were always changing. But I always remember Jackie. You know, we were real close friends I lived there for about a year after my encounter, and we were best friends. I've tried to look her up because I remember her maiden name, which I don't want to put out there, but if she's listening, she'll know who she is. And I'd love to hear from her again too, but I didn't see any of those people after I left the area.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to share the encounter. What a terrible thing to do it to a kid. You know, I can't even, I was telling you the other night, I wouldn't even do that to an enemy of mine. I wouldn't force them to sit out there. Even someone I didn't like, I wouldn't put them out there and do that to someone, let alone a kid.
Yeah, it was a different day in the late 60s. It was a different day. Kids got treated different at school. You know, corporal punishment was regular. You know, they hit us, whacked us with a big piece of wood all the time. You know, knock us down the hallway if we talked too much in class. So the fact that she was freaking out and they slapped her and sat her out there was, who knows whose idea that was, but it wasn't a good one. And I couldn't ever imagine anyone in today's world treating a child like that.
No. Well, it's interesting you mentioned the corporal punishment. I mean, that even went on in the 80s. I think it stopped around mid-80s. But I remember the principal, he had a huge stick. And if you got called down there, he would beat you with that stick. And today, can you imagine that? You know, if a principal took a stick to one of my kids, I'd take that stick and break it over his head.
You know it. Me too. Oh, yeah. Nobody would have ever treated my children that way. The few times I felt they were mistreated at school, I was there in their face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't, that would not happen today. But it was so traumatic for her that I can't believe that she wouldn't remember it clearly.
Yeah, no, I bet
she
does.
And basically anybody that was there, they had to, you know, how far is it across an empty field that was there? Maybe 50 yards to where I was. You know, everybody had a clear view of what was happening.
No, I can't even imagine what was going on. The confusion and people yelling your name. And, you know, I still laugh at the bear thing because, you know, in that area, the only bears in that area are black bears, and they're very small and they're very skittish. They're scared of people. In that area anyway, I'm not saying all black bears, but in that region, those black bears are terrified of you. I've seen them run many times. They will flee from... Even if they catch a smell of you, they are gone. They want nothing to do
with
you.
They have absolutely no desire to be walking up right into the middle of so many people. And like you said, they're smaller than this. And this, there's no way. I was telling them at the time it didn't have a snout for one thing. You know, it had a man's face. How can you even say that it was a bear? Nobody could possibly think it was a bear. So what did they tell the hunters? The hunters that arrived as they were taking us out of camp, what did they tell them? Did they tell them it was a bear, or did they tell them the truth?
Yeah, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? It really is. Because if you guys are up and leaving that area, and it's a pretty remote, and for people listening, it's a pretty remote area where you're at. 2 hours later to call a hunter and for, let's say they said it was a black, that makes no sense. That black bear's gone. You know, let's assume they were telling the hunters that. If it was 1960-something, there's no way I'm taking my gun, driving an hour, you know, northeast, and to go see a black bear that ran into some kid's camp 2 hours, you know, ago. That just doesn't make sense that they would. I almost makes me wonder if they did say, hey, listen, it wasn't a black bear. You need to get out here. Because that's a weird reaction to call the hunters to come in for a bear. It's just an odd reaction. Almost makes you wonder if they did say something to the hunters.
Yeah, I wonder. I really wonder. You know, it caught me weird at the time anyway, because it did not try to harm me in any way. Why are they sending hunters out there? And being from Alaska, I mean, I never had store-bought meat. Everything was hunted. My father, his brother owned a big hunting lodge, bush pilot. You know, all of my meat was hunted. Or fished, hunted or fished. I just can't. I was always sad when the meat would be hanging. I would always go apologize to the animals. I didn't like the fact that they were shooting animals as a kid. So the fact that they were going to go shoot this thing that just scared me half to death, but it never tried to hurt me. You know, I just thought that was wrong, that they were going to try to run in and kill it. And that my school had called them to do that. And when they knew very well it wasn't a bear. But even as a kid, I felt really bad that they were going to go chase after that animal. Yeah. Creature, half man, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, that Sasquatch was probably long gone by the time the hunters got there. And it's a very cool area. It's kind of at the foothills of Mount St. Helens. I know on a good day you can see Mount Rainier, Mount Adams up there, but there's a lot of, you know, Lake Merwin, Yale Lake. There's a lot of beautiful areas, and it's notorious for Sasquatch sightings. That whole area is notorious for Sasquatch sightings.
Oh, I can't wait to go and check it out. I appreciate you helping me pinpoint the location. Being a kid, it's kind of tough. You were really good with all of the descriptions of the area that I gave you and able to help me pinpoint. It's going to help me get out there next May. I'm going to look forward to camping or renting a cabin out in the same area and spending some time. I do appreciate you pointing me in the right direction.
Absolutely.
There.
And I'll find I know exactly where you were at. I don't know exactly where you're at. I've passed it hunting before. I remember seeing the cabins and the kind of the lodge in the middle, and they're basically just shacks, really, is what they are. They're not really. It's not a beautiful cabin to, you know what I mean. They're just kind of wooden shacks. But I have seen it before, and I think I know exactly where it's at.
Yeah, they're not log cabins. They're like the rough hewn wood.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Sided. Yeah, with each one had like one window that was real high up.
Yeah.
High windows, like, you know, you'd have to be, you know, 5'8", 5'9", 6 foot to look in the window.
To actually see in the windows.
Yeah, they weren't real nice cabins then. I can imagine what they look like now.
Well, we'll see.
If they haven't had any updating.
Yeah, well, I think they actually have had updating, but I remember passing it. I've seen exactly what you're describing on a few different occasions when I was hunting, and I was like, oh, I wonder if you can rent those out. And I remember me and Woody made a comment, I'm like, well, they're kind of just shacks. I mean, they're not really, you know, it's not the Holiday Inn. But
it was pretty rough then. But it looked like the type of place that might be used by, of course, I was the schools were taking us for our field trip at the end of the year camping. But it was probably used by church groups, maybe. And probably by the whole school district. I know I volunteer, and we end up camping out in some administration sites, is what I would call that. You know, ranger sites that they maybe rent out, but church groups, schools, larger family reunion types. Yeah, I wonder if they do still rent it out. I would love to go stay in one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. I think a couple of years back when I passed it, I remember there was like a volleyball net set up. So obviously someone's still using it. It was like a little field or something that had like a volleyball net out there.
And that's where we played softball.
Yeah, it's kind of a large, but I remember seeing a volleyball net. So I still think that they use it today. But I'll see if I can't dig it down. And then if you guys do head up this way, look me up, Aaron. I'll go up there with you guys and take a look around too. I'd love to go back to there. It's not that far from where I'm at, you know, maybe 45 minutes but I'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to go up there. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing the encounter. I really enjoyed listening to it. And there's a lot of behaviors in your encounter for people who are researching it or investigating it or just looking into this topic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of little behaviors you can pick up on what you had seen, especially with the expressions on the face, that look of surprise, like its eyes getting big and the way it reacted mm-hmm. to you. Like I said, I think that they'll react differently. If I would have been in your position, I think it would have reacted different. I think it would have been more aggressive with me, a full-grown male than a child. But it's fascinating. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I do. I appreciate you letting me get this out and especially the possibility that somebody may contact you that also was there that day. I've really got my fingers crossed for that. So if anybody is out there listening, you know, don't hold back. Get in touch with Wes, and I'd love to talk to you again.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Erin.
Okay, thanks so much, Wes.
Next up on the show, I want to welcome Derek. Derek, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. If you would, kind of start from the beginning. Tell us what you were out doing and walk us through the encounter. What did you experience?
Okay, so this happened back in July of 2000. I was 13 years old. I was at a scout camp. This was the second year I had actually gone to the scout camp. It was located in eastern Utah. And this year I was doing a wilderness survival merit badge. And for the wilderness survival merit badge, we ended up kind of going out away from the scout camp, probably about a mile to the north. And I went out with six other scouts from my troop, plus one of the dads who came to kind of help us put together our shelter. So as we were kind of going out there, two of the other scouts that were in our troop went out probably 50 feet to the east of us. And as we found a shelter to do, we found a big, huge tree that was just lying dead on the ground. So we decided to go find some other dead trees that were in this area and pick them up and put them onto this kind of as like a little lean-to that we were going to just kind of make as our shelter.
Yeah.
So we ended up picking up a bunch of those and then putting a tarp kind of over the top of it. And that was our shelter for the night. And the dad ended up going back to the main scout camp at the very end of this. So it was me and four other scouts that were kind of in that little area that we were at. And so we ended up making our little camp right there. And there probably was another 50 scouts that also went on this, and they were kind of spread out over probably a half a mile just with all the little shelters that they had made. So me and the four scouts got in there, and we kind of started waiting throughout the night. We told scary stories, kind of freaked ourselves out, and just kind of started waiting to go to sleep. Well, after several hours, all the other boys had fallen asleep, and I was sleeping next to one of the exits. And I got up to use the restroom. And as I stood up and I looked out over this fallen tree that we were using as our shelter, I looked over, and that's when I saw it. It was just a big, massive creature standing on 2 feet. And it had really long arms that went down to its knees. And I could tell that the knees kind of were bent. It looked exactly like the Patterson film with the way that the knees were bent. And it was just sitting there staring at me. And it was hairy. I was pretty small at that age for 13. I was probably about 4.5 feet tall. And this thing was at least twice my height. And it was wide. It was probably as wide as a car. And it just sat there staring at me. Well, I got really scared and just crawled right back into my sleeping bag and closed my eyes and pretended it wasn't there. Well, after that, you could hear it kind of walking more close to our shelter. And one of the other boys that was on the far side of us heard something walking towards it. And he started seeing all the other boys' names, waking them up, and just really started to get really scared. Well, as we're all sitting there, just kind of all waking up, we hear something pushing against several of the logs that we put up on the tent, and the shelter just probably half of the shelter started to collapse. And at this time, we all scooted right out of there and started making a lot of noise. Well, the scout masters who were in that area and also some of the dads who heard us started yelling, all started coming running towards us. And that's when I heard a crash from right behind the log that we had heard. Something went darting off into the woods, and then that was the end of it. And everybody came over and kind of saw what was going on, saw we were making a ruckus, and we were like, something was pushing on our shelter, something was knocking it over. And that's when they were like, you guys are just pulling our legs, trying to pull a prank, told us to shut up and go back to sleep. So that was more or less my experience.
Yeah, was there any details from the creature that you remember when you saw it? Was there anything that really stood out to you looking at this thing?
The main things that I noticed were just the height and the width, and then it was very hairy and really dark. Even though it was that time of night, I could still tell that it was really covered in hair. And then just the length of the arms, and noticing that the knees were kind of bent forward on the creature, like it couldn't stretch its leg out and be completely straight like a human, but it was bent.
Yeah, Woody always says, you ever seen the movie Underworld, The Lycans, how they have their knees bent? I don't know if you've seen that or not, but that's a good way of, I know what we saw. I understand what you mean with the bent knee. It's definitely, what I saw was more bent than what you would see with Patty. But you're right, it does give you the impression of like, why doesn't it stand up straight? Because they don't really quite stand up straight like we do. They are kind of hunched. Not really hunched over, but you know what I mean. Just kind of, it almost looks kind of slouched over in the way they have their knees bent. But you know, that the bending of that knee, I really think they are built that way to go down on all fours and take off, because you hear how fast they run on all fours and on two legs. And you would almost have to have that structure, kind of that bent knee, in order to do that. Because we as humans couldn't do that. We couldn't get down on fours and take off like they do. What was your impression with it knocking down the shelter?
I think, from my personal experience, I think it was trying to kind of force me out of where I had kind of hidden in. Like if you were chasing an animal and it ran into a hole and you were trying to get it out, I think it was trying to force me outside of the shelter is what it was doing.
I gotcha. Did it ever vocalize? Was there anything, did you ever make a sound besides obviously crashing when it ran off?
Yeah. So we heard the footsteps. It was really heavy footsteps as it came towards us. I don't remember it, but when I went back and looked in my journal to see what I had written down about it, I put that it made like a grunting sound, like a big, but I don't remember that to this day. That's just what I had written down about the account.
Yeah. And I think that's great. You wrote down the account, you know, cause sometimes we forget things. Sometimes we, little details we'll forget, and that's good that you wrote it down. I would recommend that to people. If you ever have an encounter, try and write down everything you remember at that time, because there's little things that will come out and you'd be like, oh yeah, that's right. That did happen. You know what I mean? Just poor memory, I guess, for us humans. Did it affect you at all? I mean, do you camp now, or does that bother you going out there?
Oh yeah. I definitely still love camping. I still love going out and hunting, but I know what's out there now. So I won't go out by myself, and I won't go out without carrying a firearm.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, and it's one of those things that'll always be with you, you know, as far as you'll never forget the encounter. I wanted to ask you, what do you think that these things are, Derek? And I know you got semi-good look at this thing, actually a relatively close look at this thing. What's your impression? What do you think that these things are?
They're just a really big primate that walks upright like us. I don't know where in the evolution tree they broke off or where they came from, but that is my impression. They're just a really big ape.
Yeah, they definitely look like it when you see them at first, isn't it? Just the way they're proportioned, kind of that ape-like body. But I really appreciate you coming on and sharing it very much.
Oh, Very happy to.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. For all the listeners out there, I will see you guys next week. For the members, I'll see you guys back on Sunday. Until then, have a great night, everyone. Just you.